This is the Talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined this week by two of the newest recruits to the Nottinghamshire dressing room. Housemates Sammy King and James Hayes pay a visit to lift the lid on each other's most annoying habits.
Probably that I don't wash up quick enough.
I'd say that's probably the most annoying thing.
And I think that you're quite happy to leave the bins there as well.
There's no danger of bins being taken out, no.
King discusses his upbringing in a cricket-mad family.
This nice uncle, all of a sudden, he's tailing in at you. Chat from behind the stumps, it's horrendous. It's good, though.
And Fateh Singh receives a surprise phone call while on England under-19s duty in Sri Lanka.
So today we went to the beach. I held a crab.
How was that? Was that nice? Did you enjoy that? Or...
It was quite scary, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you'd be scared of the crabs. You're scared of dogs, aren't you, as well?
They had stuff around it, but it was still quite scary.
But first, we dug a little deeper into Hayes and King's house share.
Teammates and housemates as well.
How long
have you been living together at the minute?
Two months now?
Yeah, 3 months now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I moved in just before the start.
I was only there for a few days when you moved in, and then I went back to Somerset for October to come back now.
So it's been, well, 2 months probably properly together,
How's the dynamic? How are you getting on?
I reckon it's pretty good. Like, we've been honest, I reckon.
It's very good. I think we've got a bit of a system going on with probably not the bins, though, I reckon.
There's a few bin bags still lying out. I'm kind of hoping Mick doesn't come around the academy house too soon.
I don't think I've taken those out yet, to be honest. Yeah, food and stuff all going really well.
We tend to cook together most nights.
Yeah, we do. Where we can.
If we're home together, we'll cook together.
So you were just before we started, you were just saying, because you've got uni after this today. So does that mean it falls on you to kind of the domestic chores and all?
So
the washing up will still be there when you get to.
Yeah, it will be as well. So I have to do that.
Just in case you haven't had enough on.
So last week, I trained in the morning, had the uni 2 till 6, and then I had to come back for another gym session actually after because I missed that. So I got back in at about 8, and then Hazy was just like, "Oh, do you want to just make me a stir fry?" I had to do it. I did have to do it.
Basically, we have two meals really that we eat quite often. We have chicken wraps and we have stir fry. And he does the stir fry and buys the stuff for the stir fry, and I'll buy the stuff for the chicken wraps.
Yeah, and do the chicken wraps.
So it was his night, so he doesn't get let off just because he's had a long day.
Yeah, fair enough. To be fair,
that's brutal, isn't it? Really, after a day like that.
I know. Yeah, I probably finished.
He gets grumpy as well. Yeah, he gets grumpy when he comes back from a long day. He's grumpy as well.
Agreed.
There must be things that have needled you about each other a little bit though, because when you're living together, things that you wouldn't spot day to day just come to the surface a little.
Probably that I don't wash up quick enough.
I'd say that's probably the most annoying thing.
And I think that you're quite happy to leave the bins there as well for weeks.
There's no danger of bins being taken out, no. So I reckon.
But to be honest, other than that, not really, I don't think.
I reckon we've got on really well, actually. Yeah. Ourselves and then Joey as well.
Joey comes around quite often.
Because Joey's just moved into those flats over at West Bridgeford, so he's always around now. Us three are always doing stuff together, so it's good.
Good stuff. Well, it's not just about the house share, of course. It's about the pre-season. How's pre-season been going so far, James? It's sort of, I suppose, your first run at pre-season as a pro. Does that make you a bit more involved at
pre-season with the county, to be honest? So I'm just taking it all in. It's been brilliant. Like the one-to-one stuff, it's all been very, very individual. So I've enjoyed working with Shiny and Morsey and all the batting coaches and getting a bit of serious time put into getting some work done, which has been really good.
Yeah, and I suppose with a few of the more experienced lads in Australia now or anywhere around the world, does that sort of give you a little bit more time with those coaches and a bit more focus?
Yeah, I think so, but I think we'd find time anyway. I think like my days seem to fill up really easily anyway. But the time's been really good. And I think those guys being away, like obviously I would think it frees up a little bit of time. But again, as I say, they'd probably make time for us anyway.
Yeah, and Sammy, I know you were talking about facing Stephen Mullaney and Brett Hutton in the nets this morning, which is a pretty exacting test for anyone, really.
Yeah, it was. That's the first time I've faced bowlers this year as well, so it was a bit of a test, a bit of a difference compared to the bowling machine that I was facing 10 minutes before, and then just having those two using their skills against me. But no, I'm loving it. Just batting and bowling, having that one-to-one time with the coaches is just, you can't really put a value on it. It's just unbelievable.
What was the sort of big difference, I suppose, with Mull and Brett this morning? Is it what they're bowling? Are they giving you a bit of chat as you come down as well?
No chat at all, actually, to be honest. They were like, well played. And I was like, I've just played and missed it. Don't really know how that's well played. But their skills just compared to, like, say, for example, obviously Chappie's got so much skills, but it's his pace that's probably I'm worried about, whereas his skill, Mull and Ledger's skills is just, ridiculous.
Yeah, and again, I suppose the time to work on things like that this winter must be a massive thing.
Yeah, it is. It's huge because you've got so much time now. Now I've faced them there. I know almost what I want to work on for the next couple of weeks, see if I can adjust anything against the bowling machine, against the flickers, and then test it again and see if I've improved against it.
It shows you the step up as well, doesn't
it? Yeah,
like,
massively.
What I've seen, especially from watching the bowlers bowl, like those guys.
Yeah.
Like, you just see how exact they are with their skills. And it's just, it's shown me how much I need to improve.
Yeah.
And show me where I need to improve.
Yeah, like, yeah. Because you almost think at the stage you're at, it's not too long until I'm almost good to go. And then you watch them or you face them and it's like, wow, I've got a bit to do.
A bit of graft there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you're two of quite a big sort of group, I suppose, of younger players that have come through. You mentioned Joey earlier and Dane Chandorf, who's been part of your house share at times as well. Fateh Singh has been part of that, and he's out there in Sri Lanka. Have you heard much from him since he went out for the England tour?
Yeah, yeah. So he FaceTimed me last night, actually. But I've been, pretty regular contact with him, just checking up how he's going and stuff like that. So,
I chatted to him through Kingy. Kingy's been a good mate to him for a few years now.
Exactly. Yeah, he's loving it out there, to be honest. Because there's a bit of a time difference between us, but it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, he's always just messaging me and stuff and just, waffling, to be honest.
About cricket or something.
Yeah, that's what...
Do you think if we tried him at random now, he'd pick up for you?
I almost
certainly will.
Yeah.
If it's Kingy, he will.
Yeah.
If it's you, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I don't think he would.
We're going to have to go FaceTime.
FaceTime as well.
Gotta be.
No, I reckon he will.
Yes,
there we go.
Fats, how are you?
How are you doing, Fats? You're live on the Trent Bridge podcast, mate.
You're live
on the Trent Bridge podcast.
Am I actually?
Yeah, yeah, you are. Here's the cameras.
You are. There you are.
Yeah. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. I'm just sat here watching Netflix.
What have you done today?
So today we went to the beach. Had lunch there, saw some crabs. I held a crab.
Yeah, I did see, I saw you put that on, that massive one.
How was that? Was that nice? Did you enjoy that? Or?
It was quite scary, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you'd be scared of the crabs. Because you're scared of dogs, aren't you, as well?
It had stuff around it, but it was still quite scary.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, I had crabs, and then did you train today?
No, we didn't train today. It was a rest day after our
difficult
first game.
Difficult day, it sounds like that, really. Sun, crabs.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
Did you cook the crabs afterwards and eat them, or did you just put them back?
I think they cooked them because there was a few people who had lobster and they had crab as well. So they must have cooked it.
Yeah, that's good. In general, how's it going though? How's the training? How's the sun?
The sun's amazing. Like, I've been seeing many social media stories of all the snow and stuff in England.
Oh, yeah.
And like, the cold. So I'm quite enjoying the 30-degree sunshine here.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of that. Right, I think we're going to have to leave you anyway. We're going to have to crack on with this podcast.
Enjoy your rest, eh?
Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was successful. There we go.
Yeah.
Got him in.
Tough life, it sounds like, in Sri Lanka. Yeah, honestly, a day on the beach and
crab trading. Yeah. So he's gone out there to play cricket. And he's just not even played cricket.
He's crabbing.
Today. Yeah, he's got
he's gone crabbing instead of playing cricket.
That's a joke.
But I mean, he's out there in Sri Lanka. I know, Sammy, there's sort of a Sri Lankan heritage in your family as well. I know you spoke before about how mad they go for this.
Yeah. My mum's Sri Lankan, and when we have like family gatherings and stuff, it gets like a really heated game of backyard cricket, and everyone's loving it. So it's like, imagine if I was playing against you, but everyone was me and you, there'd be like that sort of heated battle. Yeah, yeah.
Is it full kind of multi-generational thing? Everyone chipping in?
Dad's giving it big and coming down.
Uncle's all of a sudden switch.
Bang, yeah.
Gone. Yeah, like this nice uncle, all of a sudden he's tailing in at you. Yeah. Chat from behind the stumps. Yeah, it's horrendous. It's good though.
Was that the thing that sort of got you into cricket firstly, that kind of passion that you were sort of brought up amongst?
Yeah, I'd say so, to be fair. It always helped me. It really made me love the game when I was there, because it's not really cricket, but it sort of gives you a love for just bat and ball, trying to smack the ball, and then occasionally they're throwing down an apple or something, and you're trying to hit an apple. But yeah, I think it's definitely stemmed my love for the game, yeah.
So competitive families around you. James, I suppose you had competitive people around you in the second 11 this year with the skippering of Peter Trigo and the likes of Paul Franks coaching as well. A pretty successful second 11 season, but what was it like with those two steering?
Yeah, I learned so much from Trigo at the start. What before I managed to sign, like whilst I was trialling, he was a massive impact for me. I remember one of the games at Portland Road where I bowled really well, and I remember him walking up and at the end of my mark giving me some real confidence before I was going out to bowl. And And he's just really instilled a few things, especially away from the game as well, in terms of eating and health and things like that as well, and the way he carries himself and the way he looks after himself. Yeah, and Frank C is always an unbelievable character. Like, he's one of my favourite coaches. He's an unbelievable bloke, and he played for so long, and he played here for so long that, yeah, it's been unbelievable learning off him as well.
Yeah, I know they talked about trying to sort of instil first 11 standards into the second team. Is that a step that you kind of noticed this season when you were amongst
them? Yeah, definitely, especially in the field. I think one of the big focuses for us was our fielding wasn't quite where it needed to be, and there was a big emphasis on we need to, especially through this winter, and we did towards the end of the season, trying to get our fielding up to that first 11 standard, which I think we all improved on, actually, and we started taking more chances. But yeah, that's one of the big things.
And then with Trigo skipping the Royal London Cup side as well, I know your debut was in strange circumstances in the end side, but to have Trigo around that group when you sort of worked with him a little bit as well, did that kind of help you make that jump into the first team?
Yeah, I mean, Triggs has just been amazing for, I think, younger players like us in the twos, and then the Royal London Cup when he was skippering that, just being around him, and he's just such a genuine guy and he wants to really help you out.
He's a great laugh as well.
So when they told me I was going to play for him and then played at Glamorgan, it was like, it almost felt a bit like a second 11 game with him there. It felt almost that comfortable. But he's just a brilliant bloke, isn't he, really? Yeah.
And talk us through that debut as well, because it came in bizarre circumstances.
Yeah, so concussion sub for Lyndon. I actually did a search. I was trying to find my stats on play cricket the other day, and I just searched my name, and it came up as, like, Sammy King made his professional debut on the date, and it says, as a concussion sub for Lyndon James. I didn't even know that, right? Don't really want that on there, to be honest. But, mad that I am... the way it happened and just the whole experience. It seems like ages ago now, but it wasn't at all. It was only 4 months ago that I made my debut, was it? Yeah, so ridiculous that I've already made my first class debut, yeah.
And a debut you couldn't fully prepare for in a way, I suppose.
No, but then I did quite like the fact, upon reflection now, looking at it, I do quite like the fact that it was almost, I didn't have time to dwell on it thinking, I didn't have the night before thinking, oh, I'm making my debut tomorrow. It's going to be a bit... I got a bit nervous the night before, didn't sleep the night before, then potentially had a bad game. Whereas I didn't do too badly. It was almost... it sort of happened. I was in there, out there, batting in the middle. So, I'm pretty happy with the way it went, to be honest. Although it does say concussion sub on Safari. But,
Now, as we sort of look back over the season, you might have heard we did this last week, we're sort of looking back at some of the big moments from last summer as well. Because certainly the players on the field won't be able to hear the dulcet tones of Dave Bracegirdle on Trent Bridge Live describing the big moments out here on the field. So we've got one of the key moments from 2021. We'll see if you can work out exactly which moment's being described here.
Let me be the hero. We'll be the hero. He's going to bowl to Saqib Mahmood. Up on the leg side, not to celebrating, and he's out! He's gone. He's off on a celebration lap of honour.
Yeah.
And Nottinghamshire go 10.5 points
at the top.
Division 1. That's Ledge, isn't it?
Is it when Ledge got in kicked off? Okay,
I'm sure it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ledge, yeah, you're on the one.
Yeah.
One of
them went that way. Yeah.
I think Fletch went that way and Brett went that way when they were in the respective laps of honour. But big moment from the summer. And I sort of wanted to sort of move on to, I suppose, that feeling as a bowler when the pressure's on and it's been a while out there, and that game was one where it's sort of 7 down and then 8 down, and then for a while it took a long time to get those last few wickets. As a bowler out there in the field, is that a pressure that you enjoy? Is that something that is a nice moment to be part of?
I think it's something I personally really enjoy pressure. I love it. I love it when... I love thinking that I can be the guy. Like,
yeah, agreed. Yeah,
like, exactly, obviously you can't all the time, but I'm just almost always itching for that moment where I can go out and get that wicket and go on that lap of honour. That would be unbelievable. Yeah, so I think I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been in situations like that where it's like a four-day game where we need to take wickets. I'd relate that to like a T20 last over. They need 6 to win. I'd be that guy to, go arm bowling this. And I'd love that pressure, yeah.
And I know on the other side of the coin, actually, for under-18s in 2020, you were match winner with bat and ball, I think. But there's a 6 to win a game.
Yeah,
was that against Derbyshire?
Against Worcester. When we were 9 down, just clipped a 6 off the last
Is that the video you showed me like 5 or 6 times? In the
Probably,
house,
I reckon. Yeah, I reckon. We can see it now if you want, but yeah. Probably shown him that many times that... Yeah, I remember that game, actually, and with ball as well, a few times. I just love doing it with a white ball. There's something about it, I just get a real buzz from it Just doing it in the last over, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, what's your mentality at that point as well? Because it's only down to you and the guy at the other end to bring it home at that point.
Well, particularly in that season, I remember I worked a lot with Picky and during the winter on my like death bowling and stuff and my slowies and my Yorkers. So I just thought I'd back myself. I always back myself in the last over. I know I've done the work, can't really do any much more. So if stuff happens and they win, then fair enough. But I think I've done enough work and then I can just be free when I'm out there and play in the final over.
Yeah. Now, I know it's busy days for both of you, so we'll let you go soon because you've got uni this afternoon as well.
Yeah, I do.
It's a full-on day. How is that juggling going on at the minute?
Yeah, it's not too bad, to be fair. There's just quite a hectic, like, 70-hour, 72-hour period of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when I've got, like, uni and training on. Because they're mainly the days I train. And then there's like a lull between Friday to Monday when I gain all my energy back. And then all of a sudden I'm back again on Tuesday. And Thursday I'm really...
It's not really a pleasure to be around on Thursday.
Especially when I'm cooking food as well.
And then we'll be on card in the evening or something. Yeah. And something will be getting kicked and things will be being thrown around.
Just because, I try to almost... In the Thursday I really like almost reward myself with just doing no work. Just spend the time with Hazy, but I think I'm just miserable.
It's hell, but
enjoying it though, really, really enjoying it, really happy with just how everything's going, how uni's going. But today the lab's 2 till 6, like last Wednesday I was there just like doing titrations and stuff and refluxes for 3 hours 40, and I was the first to leave out of like everyone as well. So it just takes ages, it takes quite a lot out of you on a Wednesday. I spoke to Marshy and Lindsay about that as well, but no, I'm enjoying it. It's all good stuff. At least I'm not having to sit there in a lecture just for 2 hours. At least I'm actually doing stuff, so yeah.
And no one else is doing that just about 3 hours after facing Nottinghamshire's captain the Nets, are they?
No, exactly. I think, what have you got on the agenda for the afternoon now?
I've got a little bowling session after this and then back home, do a little bit of recovery, get some good food down me, a bit of PlayStation.
Right, sounds really hard.
Yeah, really strenuous.
Yeah.
I think I know where I'd rather be.
Yeah, probably do labs.
But to be honest though, to be fair, like I've said this to him before, like he's actually getting the best of both worlds at the moment. He's learning and he's getting a degree and also experiencing all this as well, which is amazing.
Yeah. But then I do come home and he's like, "Well, Hazy, what have you done? Nothing." Right, brilliant.
And you had the day this summer, actually, didn't you, where it was A-level results the same day as the game at Grantham, sort of got back down to towards the back end of the day. Sort of, I suppose, shows the whirlwind of juggling those two things at the minute.
Yeah, well, I think A-levels was a lot harder than uni now, because I think uni, they give you the freedom of just to do your own thing. You can catch up in your own time. Whereas A-levels, I think that was a massive relief to get that done and then do so well in the A-levels and then almost reward myself with a day out. It was a nice day of playing at Grantham, actually. The uni's a lot more settled down compared to A-levels, so
well, I think I'd still prefer the PlayStation side of the
massively. I
annoy him when he gets home so much. Like I'm just sitting up there and he just walks in, he's like, what have you done? I've just been here for the last 2 hours
doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
there's one day I came back and he was asleep. He was actually asleep in his room. I was like, Hazy, no response. Went upstairs, fully fast
just crashed out.
I suppose it gives you time to be better at Warzone as well.
It does. I have got my KD's gone up quite a lot over the last sort of three months, I reckon.
I still reckon I'm better though.
No, I disagree strongly with that.
No,
and
no.
You know it as well.
Yeah,
I remember dropping a 13-10 with him watching. He knows he's not.
Yeah, I think Joey's the worst out of all three.
Agreed.
Yeah. Massive.
Without doubt, there's not even a question about that. It's not a debate. It's just a fact.
Yeah. He's just no, Joey. You're not.
He thinks he is. Though. Yeah. And we like to let him think he is.
If you ever asked him, he'd say, "Right, I'm the best."
He might not say it, but he'd consider it, and he might say, "I'm not sure, maybe."
No, he is. He'd say that he's the best. Honestly, he would say FIFA. He'd say he's the best.
Yeah, agreed as well.
Yeah.
But the stats sort of don't lie, do they? When you get to the end of that, really?
No, exactly. They don't. And he's going negative every time, like 8 kills, like 20 deaths or something.
I think the last time I played at FIFA, I beat him 7 or 8-0, I think, the last time as well.
That's embarrassing. I
mean, that sounds pretty resounding. Yeah. We'll bring that up whenever he comes on.
Yeah.
We'll sort of poke that bear again.
He'll get a bit rattled as well.
He'll get rattled.
He'll give it...
Yeah, you will.
But thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Cheers,
good luck for the rest of the winter.
Thanks,
guys. Look forward to seeing you out there again.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure.